Matthew, the third chapter. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all of Judea were going out to him and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord. A person will worship something. I had no doubt about that. That's what Ralph Waldo Emerson said, that a person will worship something, have no doubt about it. He goes on to say that that which dominates our imaginations and our thoughts determine our lives and our character. Therefore, it behooves us to be careful about what we worship, for what we are worshiping, we are becoming. I think that if we want to identify who it is that we worship, the question is simply this: who is the one person that you think never makes a mistake? Because we hold heavy to those who we believe never make a mistake. But who is it that we worship? We're working our way through Isaiah in these 4 weeks and focusing on the texts that are the first lessons for the week. And Isaiah is a prophet. A prophet is one who is called by God to speak to God's people. Isaiah as a prophet is one that was called to speak to God's people in Jerusalem, who were living in the kingdom of Judah. He was called after the king had died. And he was called to speak to God's people because they were afraid. You see, there was the threat of a large army coming in to invade their country and take over their nation. And so what the leaders of Jerusalem did is they formed an alliance with other nations that had been their enemies, but the only thing that unites enemies is a common enemy. And so they joined forces, and as part of that joining of forces, then the leaders of God's people also brought back statues of the gods of these nations and placed them in the temple, which God had made clear the temple was only for the presence and worship of God. And so what Isaiah is called to do, which most prophets are doing, is the act of reminding. What Isaiah was called to do was to remind all of God's people how God had delivered them in the past. That when they were slaves in Egypt, God heard their cry for help, and God delivered them from slavery. God brought them through the Red Sea. God brought them out of the wilderness into the Promised Land. Isaiah is there to remind people of what God has done and that God has continued to be faithful to God's people. In the same time that Isaiah is reminding the people of God's faithfulness, he is pointing out to the people how they have broken their faithfulness to God. And not trusting in God to protect them from their enemies and worshiping false gods in the temple, Isaiah said, was their act of breaking their promise to God. And so what the prophet does then is really two things. The first thing the prophet does is point out to the people that the situation in which they are finding themselves at the moment is a result of the wrong that they have done. And that's why they find themselves in that situation. At the same time, Isaiah is called to point out to them that there is coming a time when God will once again deliver the nation. Why? Because God is always faithful to God's people. To capture this, Isaiah uses the metaphor of the stump, that tree being cut back, but knowing that sooner or later it will start to sprout again and grow back into another tree. And so what Isaiah is doing is asking God's people, asking them to start looking at the world in a different way, to be aware of where they have gone wrong, but at the same time to have a long-term vision for what God is doing among the people. I don't use social media for political posts because I don't think it can ever be helpful. I like social media because, believe it or not, I'm interested in where you go to eat. I'm interested in when your family comes to visit or what your family is accomplishing. We have one member of the congregation that travels all over the world for work, and he regularly posts every place he's eaten. It's just fascinating, all the neat restaurants and places he has gone and where he's eating. I love seeing those, what the grandkids and the kids are doing, what the dogs are doing. And so I love that. And the other part about social media I love is that at times these videos come across that just grab you by the heart and fill you with joy. And the ones that I'm seeing a lot of right now are the videos of people who were born, did that move or am I just seeing it move? People who are born colorblind. And then all of a sudden someone is generous enough to buy that person a set of glasses that allow them to see color. And they put the glasses on, and the first reaction is absolutely joy and wonder. And the next action, the person is sobbing for joy because they are finally seeing the world in a new way. What God is saying that God's people can do, even when we fall short, even when we are broken, even when we worship the wrong God, that God will be merciful and God will save us. That's the call of Isaiah. What Isaiah does, and this is captured by the author Richard Osmer in his book on practical theology, is that Isaiah talks about two kinds of future. There's the near future, the moment in which we find ourselves, and maybe just a slight bit out from that and where we think things are going to go. And then there is the furthest future, that long-term vision of how things are going to end. And Isaiah points out that whenever someone is broken, whenever someone has done something wrong, that near future is so strong to their spirit, and they can panic and they can become overwhelmed and filled with dread because they don't think there's going to be anything other than that moment. But Isaiah points to the furthest future, which is there will be a time when things are set right. That near future is a powerful way of looking at the world. I can still remember the day. I was probably 10 or 11. I was standing in the yard with my grandparents, and my brother was bringing one of our tractors back to the barn to put it in for the night. And he lost control of the tractor, and it went off just a, not too deep of a ledge, but it was enough that when it went over the edge, it rolled over on top of him. I can still see everything clearly. I can still feel how I felt at that moment. See the tractor roll over, to hear him crying for help, trying to figure out what was going to happen next. We find ourselves in those positions all the time, don't we? Is it going to end okay? Is there going to be something new happens? I am so thankful to God that in that day, once they were able to roll that tractor back, which was amazing, the energy that people get when they're panicked, it only took two people to roll that tractor back upright that day. My brother got away with a broken arm, and that's it. But I didn't see that ending in the moment of my dread. Isaiah is inviting us to not only pay attention to the near future, but trusting in the God who brings us the furthest future. If we don't focus on the furthest future, we will be tempted to trust a false god and worship a false god in the moment of our despair. The sense of seeing the world in a new way, being able to interpret near and furthest future, Christians really have a new way to see the world. And we have a new way to communicate within this world. I mentioned Richard Osmer's writing, and Osmer calls the way that Christians can communicate with each other rational communication, which is not the word I would use for most of the communication I see and hear now. Rational communication. And he says that there are basically three characteristics of this rational communication. The first is that rational communication requires a person to make a claim, this is what I believe, and then to give reasonable reasons why I believe it. And in doing so, then allowing the person that is listening to you to respond to what you have to say, to ask questions, to strive to understand better, to figure out what you are really saying. This kind of reasoned conversation is different than where we go most of the time, which is we love to level a criticism right away because that puts the other person on the defense instead of taking the risk to say, this is what I think is right, and being able to give reasons for it, then allowing conversation with others to determine if those reasons really work. The second quality, he says, of rational communication is that it helps people realize that no two people ever start at the same point when having a conversation about something, even if they're talking about the same thing. We all bring a perspective to it. Talking to a colleague of mine, we went to seminary, overlapped in seminary, and she was complaining about the sun visors in cars, because she's probably just over 5 foot tall. And she said, you know what, I put that sun visor down, it does me no good. It's not low enough to block the sun because I'm so short. And she was there saying that, expecting everyone to be sympathetic. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, when I put the sun visor down, I can't see out the windshield because it's in front of my face so much. And all of a sudden we realize that there's more than one perspective on sun visors in cars. It's that way for everything about which we communicate with one another. And the hope is that by getting the perspectives together, then we can get closer to really talking about what's going on. So admitting that perspectives are different person to person. The final quality that that Osmer gives of rational communication is the request for humility. To believe that and to be willing to reconsider our position in light of what other people say to us. Because we really haven't entered, he says, in the process of rational communication unless we are willing to listen to the perspectives of others. And then you can get at what we're talking about. One of the other videos that I've watched repeatedly this week, and you're going to think I spent all my time on social media, is that, I don't know if it was Florida or California, but a man had parked his car in the driveway, left the car running, and went inside, and the man's black lab jumped into the driver's seat, and in the process of doing so, knocked the car into reverse. And then the car is just circling backwards in the neighborhood, running over mailboxes, running into people's yards, running over flower beds. The dog is sitting in the front seat just looking around, watching all of this happen, because it's all happening in slow motion. And it took like an hour before they were able to actually get in the car and stop the car and get the dog out. But what's fascinating to me is as I was watching different people post the video, everyone came from a different place. For me, I was focused on the black lab because we have a black lab at home, and I kept picturing my dog sitting there driving my truck backwards around in my cul-de-sac. You know, those who are police officers or connected police officers are saying, these are the kind of things that police officers have to deal with all the time. You know, another person who has no patience at all with people who make mistakes said, what was the guy thinking that he left the dog in the car with the car running? Notice how from every side, but that's exactly what we need to do if we want to talk about what's happening. Just realize we're all coming at it, looking at it from a different side, and in engaging in conversation with one another, we get a picture of the whole thing. God is calling us as believers to lives of rational communication. The sermon title is Radical Living. Radical in the sense of getting at the root of. That's why radical and radish have the same root word. Getting at the root of. And so it's asking us, how is it that we as Christians, the way that we engage one another, get at the root of what is going on and find ways to address it that brings about newness and goodness. God indeed is giving us the chance to look at the world in a whole new, brilliant, extraordinary way. No matter what we are facing at the moment, there is the furthest future that still exists where God sets things right. And seeing the world in a new way and trusting in the promise of God, it is my prayer that we can also then engage in rational communication. Amen.